Welcome to Dharma Glow. We're a community of conscious beings who are devoted to co-creating new earth. We value joy, peace, equity, and love. Our mission is to ignite the essence of our community by sharing tools for liberation and inspiration. Join us on the path to purpose, peace, and universal harmony. It's time to come together to awaken our inner radiance. Let's glow, fam. Enjoy this podcast where we showcase some of the brightest minds and hearts in the creative space and the healing space. It's all here to inspire you. And if you're inspired by what you hear today, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, as that'll really help spread the energy of this movement. Thank you. Enjoy the vibrations. So before we get started, I just wanted to let y'all know that we have monthly community events that bring in great artists from all over the world that are raising consciousness and spreading the vibrations of love. In October, we have the magical sounds of Lundrell. So he'll be coming through to play music off his album Stay Free and also share some of his poetry. I'll be sharing from my book From Infinity to Infinity, and we'll have yoga, silent disco, vegan food, high vibration cold pressed juices, and all that. It's amazing. So if those type of events are something you want to experience, make sure you go to dharmaglow.com and sign up for the email list to stay tapped in. Once again, that is dharmaglow.com. Join our email list and you will get notifications when tickets go on sale and when we have other community events that you're not going to want to miss. All right, let's get into the episode. What's good, Dharma Glow family? We are back with another expansive episode of the podcast with a good friend of mine, Saraya Leonara. Welcome.
Thank you, Dijon. It's so good to be here. Hello, everyone.
Isn't her voice awesome? I love it. I'm working on having her get her own podcast, so stay tuned for that in the future. So Saraya does very essential work in these times, in that she helps men harness their sexual energy and use it in healthy ways. And if I'm being straight up, I feel like that's probably the most important work to be doing on the planet right now, because sexual energy is creative energy. It has the power to change the trajectory of history. There's so much debate over women's reproductive rights and abortion and what happens if a woman is raped, is she forced to keep the baby and all that. And then people coming back with, we should force males to get vasectomies, and all of that seems just not very useful and in this combative type of space. But if men just knew how to be in tune with themselves, actually understand the multidimensionality of sexuality and control it and use it responsibly, all those problems go away. So I've worked with her. I know other people that have worked for her, and she's excellent at what she does. So I wanted to have her on to share her expertise.
Thank you, Dijon. I appreciate that lovely introduction. Yeah, I agree with you that I think healing our sexuality is really at the core of healing so much on this planet, because sex is the seed of our creation. It's where we all come from. It's how we all got here in these bodies, what we're made of. And our sexual energy is our vitality, our life force, our chi that is pulsating through all of existence and animating our bodies into being. And so for men, particularly, their sexual energy is akin to fire. And so untamed fire burns down the world, whereas channeled fire fuels it and warms it and illuminates it. And so it's this incredibly powerful force that all humans have. And the reason that I speak to men specifically in this arena is because, men have been running the world for a long time, and a lot of people are operating in this kind of distorted masculine energy. So all people of all genders, a lot of Western cultures specifically, are operating in this false young juvenile masculine energy, where it's this energy of got to get it where I can, got to penetrate every space, got to jump on every opportunity, even if it's not fully in alignment. So whether that's sex or money or progress, even the state of our technological development, oftentimes not taking awareness of how is this development of technology going to affect other people, going to affect the world. There can just be this obsession with penetrating any space of progress, any space of opportunity, without really tuning in first to see is that in alignment. With that, we see destruction of the planet, of our bodies, and of all kinds of things. And so I think that when that sexual energy, that drive is out of check, a lot of chaos can happen. And so I think really learning to harness the power of that energy is so powerful and can change the world in so many ways.
That's so eloquently expressed, and I agree. And it's actually painful to be a man and or to be trying to be a man and not fully understand how to be a man. And I was at a men's retreat a few weeks ago, and men are in general very afraid in this time period because it's easy to get crucified and lumped in with being the root cause of everything that's wrong with the world. So people are just afraid to even try to be in their healthy masculine, and they don't have many models for that since that's not what is displayed in popular culture. If you listen to any hip hop song or listen to movies, it's I hit that bitch and then I cut her off. Woo! And you're like, it's, are we so concerned? Are we so preoccupied with the melody or something that you're not actually listening to what's being expressed? And are you in support of that? It's hard to be a feminist on this side of the street and then be playing that type of music that's poisoning people's minds and normalizing toxic behavior. So, yeah, once again, I appreciate the work you're doing. And I always ask people to tell me their story about how they came into this purpose work. So I would love to hear your story. I say, give me your story up until now in 3 minutes and 33 seconds.
Oh, wow. Phew. Okay, so let's see, to sum this up quite succinctly, I became very ill with chronic illness in my early 20s. With that, I lost my libido and was experiencing pain during sex. In losing my libido, I also lost my zest for life. There was like a connection there, and I saw the connection point. And I had been interested in Tantra and Taoism for a while, and I started diving into those realms along with the whole medical side of navigating my illness. And first came into tantric sexuality, which offered incredible tools of sexual healing. And then about a year later, came into the whole of Tantra. And it just shifted so many of my perspectives on what I was navigating, helping me really shift out of a place of victimhood around the hardship I was navigating with illness, and coming into a place of deep empowerment and gratitude for the way that this path of illness actually led me to my path of purpose, because I started falling in love with the work of Tantra and how it could change people's lives and beyond just sexuality, but how it could really touch every facet of their lives in the ways that it touched mine. And so it was my first experience of really alchemizing something seemingly awful that happened in my life into something beautiful that is still offering so many gifts today. And so that's how I came into this work in general. And as far as working with men, there were a lot of pieces to that. At one point, I wanted to help women and was seeing all these amazing women around me who were complaining they couldn't find a good man to meet them. And so I started getting curious, wanting to investigate what's going on the masculine side of things. And I've always been very close with men. I've always had more guy friends than girlfriends. And I've always had a lot of compassion for them. I don't play the whole man bashing, man blaming game at all. And so I started getting really curious and dropping in with them more closely than I had been even before, because I was always the one that my guy friends would come to with their girl problems and talk to me about these kinds of things, but started really deepening that and had some different experiences of alchemizing a situation where there was a guy who sexually assaulted me, and years later, we had the opportunity to heal it and to come face to face in a heart-centered place and really honestly work through it. And we actually ended up becoming really good friends. And so I've just had these incredible experiences of alchemizing things that a lot of people would run away from or kind of self-implode around, and have received incredible gifts from them. And I've seen that there's always two sides to every story, and we are all products of our conditioning. And so, what men are experiencing right now, we lack rites of passage and initiations into our sexuality. All genders do. But for men, I think it can often feel like being given access to this high power race car without ever having learned how to drive, and just being thrown into the world like you're expected to know what to do with it. And yeah, I think that was a big piece of how I got into working with men, of just seeing, hey, we're not going to get anywhere if we're in this us versus them battle. And I really want to be there to learn from and support the men.
That's amazing. There's so many things I want to ask you about that, but let's start with, you said you're not into the man bashing and everyone's a product of the system, basically they're a part of. And in our case, we're all a part of the patriarchal system, which people think benefits men, but I don't think it does in actuality, because the men that are quote unquote benefiting are usually perpetrating the most heinous crimes are, and therefore the most disconnected from their soul in the true sense of what we're here to be as humans. What do you feel like, if any, is the kind of the place of women to interface with the situation? And do you feel like there are instances where women have self-responsibility to not take things in a certain direction? Like, for instance, the Me Too movement, although it was very necessary, there was also, I felt, a lot of shadow in it. And it feels like it's important to bring it into a place of balance. So I was wondering if you could speak to that at all.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I agree that patriarchy doesn't really benefit anyone in a true sense, because masculine and feminine are two sides of the same coin, and they make up one whole. And so when you oppress one side of the coin, you inevitably dilute the other side of the coin. And so anyone who has grown up in a culture with the oppression of the feminine is going to have a challenging time interfacing with true feminine energy, because it's not like what they've been exposed to. And this is often where you'll see some men in positions of power that have no idea how to respect a woman, how to listen to a woman, how to actually interface with her in a way that's an integrity, because he's a product of this society that doesn't respect the feminine. And so I think you're absolutely correct in that it really is a disservice to all of us. And I am a huge proponent of radical self-responsibility and accountability and sovereignty. And so when I say there's two sides to every story, I think that every person is always playing a role in how they navigate situations. And while the Me Too movement was an absolutely necessary, important thing, and I think it's so necessary for women to speak out, I think that sometimes the intention behind why we're speaking out against something can get lost. And if the intention is to attack and blame and shame, where is that really going to lead us? Or if the intention is healing, then how might we shift the way in which we communicate something, the way in which we express something, the way in which we view the quote unquote other side? Because I think when we start seeing other as separate from us, as something that needs to be demonized, we really destroy the capacity for healing and understanding and compassion. And that doesn't mean that we say that what you did was okay. It doesn't mean a spiritual bypassing of injustices that have occurred. But I do think that curiosity and And recognizing that when people do commit horrible things against other people, they are often very traumatized themselves. It's coming from a place of pain or from really horrible conditioning. There's a lot of violent porn out there that is programming so many men from a young age. They don't get talked to about sexuality. And so I think it's our job as a collective to get really curious about why are these things happening and how can we address everyone's trauma in a way that is in service to healing rather than trying to shame one type of person.
Mm. Yeah, that's so powerful. It reminds me of there's an African tribe that when someone acts out of integrity with the health and well-being of the community, they bring them into the center of the community and everyone tells them things they remember about them that they love and positive attributes until the person softens into remembering their nature, which really resonates with me because it speaks to a lot of things. It speaks to the power of small community, because I feel like in big cities, it's so easy to become anonymous and lose a sense of intimacy. But when you have a sense of intimacy and you're able to look someone in the eyes and communicate impact or actually have a connection, it naturally entrains the person back into their essence. And I feel like we're sorely missing that level of compassion in society. So I'm also curious, you started your story, your 3 minutes and 33 seconds, which Mal, maybe we'll do another 3 minutes and 33 seconds of where you were born and where you grew up and what got you to the place where you were 20 and interested in this exploration and how your libido had gotten depleted.
Sure. So I was born in Orlando, Florida. I grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio. And yeah, I got out of Ohio as soon as I could. And started out going to college for various different things. I bounced around from international affairs per my dad's pressure international business was where I started, into international affairs, and then moved to Oregon and interned with the Sierra Club. I got really into environmental activism and I shifted into environmental studies and continued studying in Oregon. And then I got to a point where I was really overwhelmed, really heavy by being a hardcore activist and spending so much time just tirelessly trying to work for solutions, and then being in school, just learning about everything that was wrong with the world and not focusing so much on solution in schools. And I burned out on all of it. It was really heavy. It was a lot of weight for me to carry. And there was a moment that I was at a festival and was deep in a medicine journey and went to the porta potty. And on the inside of the porta potty, there was a quote by the Sufi poet Rumi that said, "Yesterday I was clever, so I wanted to change the world. Today I'm wise, so I'm changing myself." And it just hit home for me. It just landed in such an incredible way. Recognizing that I was running around like a chicken with my head cut off, trying to change what everyone else was doing and getting so bent out of shape by the twists and turns of this crazy reality, and needed to work on myself and find who I was and what I was really here to offer and what I needed to heal within myself. So that sent me on a long journey of international travel and plant medicine work and jumping all over the place. And I fell really ill during my travels. I got really sick in the Amazon and started deepening my journey with plant medicine and natural healing and herbalism and things like this, just for my own personal process. And then eventually, I guess I would have been 22, I finally just hit a wall with all of it and was like, I need to ground. I need to see doctors. I need to get this figured out. I can't do this on my own. And I hit a pretty rock bottom, dark night of the soul deal there. So that's what led me to falling very ill. Found out it was a mess of chronic illness, Lyme's disease, various different infections, bacteria, viruses. And I really think that what made me lose my libido and what led me to this illness, I think it was a combination of things. I think that I had been running around in that false yang energy that we spoke to earlier, that juvenile masculine energy of go, 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 do, 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 gotta get it where I can, really trying to live up to parental standards, society standards, trying to make everyone else happy. I was a huge people pleaser. I really struggled with boundaries, and I was in a really toxic relationship. I was in a really parasitic, toxic relationship where I did not have a strong sense of self-worth and no boundaries. And I didn't know what it was to love myself. And so it was in getting out of that relationship that I started learning that and cultivating these boundaries, but they were still very weak. And I think that I allowed myself to be permeated by parasitic energies that manifested physically for a very long time. And in losing my libido, I think that my body was talking to me of, you're out of alignment. You're out of alignment, and you need to slow down and come back to yourself and not be so outwardly focused on connection with others, but come home to self and really look at what's going on there.
Wow, so much wisdom, and that paints such a complete picture of your journey. I felt like that was volume one. We got volume two, and then we went back and got the origin story. Yeah, I have a tremendous amount of respect for you and the perspective that you've cultivated. And in ancient civilizations, they said that women were the rulers because of their intuitive capabilities, but also their wisdom. And it really feels like you embody this level of maturity and clear-sightedness, but also with intuitive attunement to be able to be a leader. And if this is the type of feminine leadership that is for our future, then I'm very excited about it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. And one other question I'm curious about is, I believe you are in partnership now, correct?
Yes.
So I'm just curious how it is for you to navigate being in partnership with doing all this men's work, if you're open to sharing.
Yeah. Well, I think my partner is one of my most potent teachers, in this work. We've been together for almost 5 years this time around, and we were together just before I fell really ill, in between the toxic relationship and in between like really hitting that rock bottom with the illness journey. We were together for about a year back then in our early 20s, and then went our separate ways for a long time and came back together very synchronistically. But he really helped redefine what a man can be for me in my early 20s. He was a window into how masculinity could be more in alignment, more in integrity with sexual energy and how that could look and feel. And of course, we were both still very young and we're not ready to show up to meet each other in the way that we are now. But yeah, I've brought him on as a guest speaker to my courses before. A lot of what I've learned in this work has been through my own experience. I've studied with a lot of amazing teachers as well, but my education has been very non-conventional, and I love that because it's not the kind of stuff that you will learn in college or find in books, and so much of it is through my own lived experience. And with that, that's really challenging sometimes, because since this path has chosen me and since I've committed to it, I feel like my life is school for what I'm doing here. And I'm constantly presented with new facets and layers of challenges that I can feel like, oh, okay, this is my initiation to learn how to help people with this piece of relationship or sexuality or self-love. And I feel like I have to really go through them myself. And so our relationship has taken on a lot of that too, of having to learn how to navigate all kinds of different challenges that couples go through. And now, as we have been together for 5 years, learning some of the challenges that come with being with somebody for a longer time and how to keep that fire stoked. And he's been a huge teacher for me in this by just being on the journey with me and has been really supportive of the work I do is very helpful to get a masculine perspective on the way that I communicate things, is this landing to the male mind, and having that mirror and that reflection can be very helpful. And he's been really supportive. You know, I think I've had people ask, does he get jealous that you do all this work with men or anything like that? But he's very secure in himself, and we have a deep trust for each other, and he fully believes in the work that I'm here and doing. And so it's never even been a thing on the radar between us. Yeah, I feel very grateful and blessed.
Well, that's great. It sounds like he's a great fit to be supportive and also to lead on the path that you're on.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Well, I think your sparkling consciousness has been well displayed today. I'm curious if you want to share, if men have heard this and they are interested in working with you, what that looks like and how they can connect to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a lot of things that I offer. And I do want to say that as a holistic sex and relationship coach, this work is very holistic. It will touch every facet of your life. And so our sexuality is not something that can be isolated as something that happens between the sheets behind closed doors. But like I said, it's the energy that we're made out of. And so when we start working on our sexual energy, it touches the other areas of our lives. And when we dive into the other areas of our lives, we start to see where maybe that sexual energy is blocked as well. I take people on very deep transformational journeys. I have two courses online for men. One is called Vital Confidence and one is called Multi-Orgasmic Vitality. And the first one helps with all kinds of sexual issues that men may struggle with, whether it's not being able to get and stay hard, coming too soon, not feeling like they're at choice as to when and if they ejaculate, having any sort of shame around sexuality, fear, lack of confidence about themselves, their body, their size, porn addiction, covers all kinds of things like that, and how to really step into healthy masculinity in a way that feels authentic to you. The second course, Multi-Orgasmic Vitality, is about how to become a multi-orgasmic man through learning the art of non-ejaculatory orgasm, which gives you incredible stamina and vitality and next level full body pleasure. And it really connects the sexual with the spiritual in a really profound way. So those are my two offerings for men. I have more coming next year. I also work with women, couples, people of all genders, and my next upcoming offering is going to be called Transmutation, coming out very soon, and it's a series for learning how to alchemize whatever life throws at you into really beautiful, potent gifts and sense of purpose and reclaiming pieces of yourself through challenging initiations. If anyone wants to stay in tune with all of that, you can go to my website, follow me on Instagram. Soraya Leonara is my Instagram with an underscore in between Soraya and Leonara. And yeah, you can hop on my mailing list and I'll keep you posted on all of it. And I also work one-on-one with a small number of clients at a time.
That's amazing. Very rich tools for transformation. And just rapid fire to close. I believe that there are healthy and unhealthy expressions of both masculine and feminine energies. Does that resonate with you?
Absolutely.
Could you rapid fire some healthy expressions of masculinity versus some unhealthy? And then we'll also do the feminine as well, just so people can have it in their awareness of what these things are.
Absolutely. And I do want to say everyone has masculine and feminine energy both within them. And so it's also important that we don't get hung up on like concepts of gender around this, because we all need to integrate both sides within. So a lot of people think that aggression is part of a masculine trait that is healthy, but actually assertiveness is the healthy trait rather than aggression. Being able to listen when taking action, when being in a place of direction, is a very healthy masculine trait, rather than just being in this kind of overconfident, arrogant place where you're not listening to others or the lay of the land and you're just charging forward. That ability to slow down and listen is actually the very healthy masculine trait. And being centered within yourself, really grounded and centered within your integrity, that would be the healthy expression, rather than like stoic and unmoving and like unable to feel anything, emotion is a healthy thing to feel. And what's considered to be the healthy masculine trait is to be able to stand strong and centered and accountable through what it is that you're experiencing without needing to shut it off or shut it down. So I would say those are some important ones for the masculine. For the feminine is not passive. The feminine is not weak. The feminine is incredibly strong. Giving birth takes an enormous amount of strength. And so the idea that the feminine is passive is actually distortion of feminine energy. And then I'd say emotional manipulation is a very unhealthy kind of expression of the distorted feminine. When the feminine emotion is not expressed, is not heard, it can get repressed and explosive and come out in these sideways kind of ways of emotional manipulation and sexual manipulation, using sexuality to get things. And that comes from lifetimes of women being oppressed and not having rights or ways of power to cultivate within. And those were the only ways they knew how to get power. Yeah, I would say the healthy feminine expression is being able to speak from the heart, being able to have compassion while also having really strong boundaries and being in a place of strong self-accountability rather than blame. I would say blame is another one that can come through sometimes, and it's always a two-way street. We need to work with both sides on how we heal our traumas, because sometimes women are so traumatized that they don't know how to say no. They don't know how to draw their boundaries. And so cultivating a culture of deeper accountability, self-responsibility, tools of boundaries and communication and consent is so essential on both sides of the equation.
Amazing. Thank you so much. It really is an extraordinary honor to hear you speak about and navigate these realms that I feel like are so confusing to so many people. And it's always illuminating to hear you share. So I'm really grateful.
Thank you so much for having me, Dijon. I really appreciate getting to speak with you and share with your audience. And I hope that this was really helpful for everyone.
I know it was for me. So I'm confident it was for others as well. So thank you again. And we will include the information to connect with Soraya in the show notes. And we'll see you next time, fam. Peace. All right, fam. I hope you enjoyed that episode of Dharma Glow. We're here to inspire you and to elevate your consciousness so that you can live a life that leaves a legacy of love. If you enjoyed what you heard here today, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, sign up for the email list at dharmaglow.com, and stay connected. Spread the word, because what we're doing here is essential to the formation of New Earth. As long as we stay connected, we can't lose. Much love. This is Dijon. I'm out.